Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast, at least sometimes. I'm your host, Trevor, and I played McKay, got my ass kicked.
Was it by clock or try?
I mean, was it an ass kicking?
How many models did I kill?
Well, how many models did I kill?
Fair.
And we each killed one, didn't we?
No, you killed two.
Oh, okay.
What kind of game were you playing?
When it's McKay, you're always kind of playing the game where, are you about to die or is she about to die?
I was just making sure the game hasn't changed in the 3 weeks since I played it last. So.
She pretty much threatens the whole board.
Thankfully, where I'm from, Chris McKay hasn't picked up much, so I haven't had the pleasure or displeasure of seeing her yet.
She can be kind of scary.
I'm Jay, and my Infernals are getting some more work done, so I've been playing Grimkin in the interim. But I'm excited to get back to Infernals.
Like touch-up paint or something? Like, what does that mean? Work done has a certain connotation to...
Well, as an example, Ashton got 3 units of cultists ready for lock and load, but our base inserts were a little bit the wrong size, and so I sent them back to him, and he's putting the new base inserts in. And so that type of stuff.
Okay.
I don't recognize this man seated across from me.
I'm Josh. Is it because I got my hair cut?
He's like thin.
He's looking quite svelte today.
Svelte. Yes. He has facial hair going on. I don't understand.
I had laser hair removal done to get my beard to this state.
Oh, okay.
Nice. I will never have to shave my neck again.
That would be nice.
I'm pretty excited about it. You should go laser your entire head. Spoiler alert, it will hurt a little bit.
I'll take that under advisement. And this week, we have a very special guest joining us. He's traveled all the way from Tasmania, one Aaron Well.
Hello, and thanks yet again for having me back. I don't know how long I can keep fooling you guys to allow me to come back, but we've been 6 years running now, so let's just hope it continues for a few more years. But thanks again.
Listen, yeah, we wonder that about the listeners every year.
Yeah, when we get to the age that you're at, the majority of the hosts on this show, 6 years feels like 2 weeks, honestly. You really don't know where the time is, so...
Well, as always, it's a pleasure to be here, so thank you.
Okay, Josh, let's start with the community builders.
Let's. All right. This week's community builders is sportsmanship, and we had several wonderful nominations, including one nomination where the nominee basically refused the nomination.
Of course he would, because
he's too humble, basically, yeah. Or whatever, right? I'm like, whatever. So I won't choose that one, but actually, I really did like the one that we're going to go with. This nomination came from... Is it Nicholas Cupery or Cupery or Coopery? Cup Eri? Anything?
I don't
know. All right. So Nicholas is nominating Peyton Priest. And he says the following about one Peyton Priest. He says, during MuezzonCon, he demonstrated excellent poise and sportsmanship in both of the games I played against him. Whether dealing with exceptional luck or an off-balance opponent, his grace as a competitor impressed me. I got to see this demonstrated twice in the weekend. I got exceptionally lucky during Champions Run and had 2 Bastion defensive strikes take down Hakkar. (12% of the time, it happens every time. I'm sorry that I don't know the Ron Burgundy voice very good. And then during the Masters Final, when I got flustered due to forgetting to activate an Allegiant of the Order of the Fist. In challenging hard-fought games, Peyton kept his cool and was all around a wonderful opponent. So I think that's a great example of sportsmanship and how keeping your cool makes you a wonderful opponent.
And what was the name again?
Peyton Priest. That's PeytonPreece. Tell him what he's won, Jay.
So, Peyton Priest has won a set of Muzon Minis licensed zones. You can find the zones at Muzon Store, and everyone should go buy them.
They're gorgeous, honestly.
Yes.
Do you have more factions than you used to last summer or whenever? If you added more factions?
We're currently working on getting those approved.
Oh, okay.
Everyone go ahead and do additional nominations on the upcoming weeks. We would love to hear your awesome nominations and talking about people doing well. Also, check out the thread I did on the community builders talking about the champions format. There have been some people who have been posting, and again, at the end of the month, we will select someone whose post we like to send out some Predator Press art.
Yes, and speaking of nominees, a reminder that the one we'll be talking about next episode will be getting new people into the game, the new blood nominees. So
excellent. So let's go ahead and talk about
discount games.
Discount games, sure.
Let's.
So first, a bit of sad news. The day that this is posted is the day that the first wave of Infernals were supposed to be shipping out.
Sad news.
That did not happen. Rapture Press had a packaging issue with the some of the launch items. And so the first wave of items has been pushed back 2 weeks. And so there was another release date that was scheduled for 2 weeks later. And so all of that product is being shipped out on that end of July date. So if you haven't done your Infernals pre-orders, you still have time to get those in and to get the first wave of product all shipping out to you. There's some sweet-looking models.
Yes, there are some sweet-looking models.
For Muzon Minis, the Infernals token set is now live, and it's now shipping. By the time you hear this, if you order it, it'll be shipping right away. So get those orders placed and get your tokens, and I think that Nigel did an especially good job this time with his design.
Infernalism.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Excellent.
Why don't we go ahead and talk about a Dank Doom meme?
I have some dankness for you.
Okay.
I picked this one because it's what we Idahoans call hot right now.
Okay.
So this, and I also picked it because it's a visual meme, and I'd love to give those an audio.
My daughter's currently reading Dune, by the way.
Is she?
Yes.
Single tear. All right, there it went. So this is a pretty awesome looking art of some Fremen on one dune looking out across a valley.
No, Aaron, you can't look at the Dank Doom meme. It's a visual meme in audio format.
They can see some sandworms emerging from the dunes. And the meme says, "I'm not saying it's unbearably hot outside or anything, but a couple of Fremen just tried to reclaim my water for the tribe while I was asleep on the couch." It's really not that visual.
Dank Doom memes did a retweet yesterday of.
Is it the Waluigi one?
Yeah, the.
Oh my god!
It was a sandworm that had Wario.
Wario, that's right.
As the head of Wario on the head of the worm.
Why would I invoke Waluigi? That was terrible of me. I'm sorry.
So disappointed. Well, let's, I guess, go ahead and start talking about stuff for the main segment of the podcast. So,
are we going back to Locke and Loj? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, that was the initial plan. We had another part of Locke and Loj that we were going to discuss that we didn't get to. So, what I think might be maybe interesting is for us to talk about some of the previews that we saw throughout there with additional things that we know are coming. So, as an example, Ashlyn, too, she had a seminar where it was like, let's design Ashlyn, too, at the seminar.
Okay.
And initially, she was going to be a cavalry model, but the audience of the Design Ashlyn, too, group were very, very much opposed to that idea. It would have been the first Merc Cav Warcaster, but they're like, this is the famous duelist of the faction. Doesn't really make sense to have her dueling on a horse. And so they're going to, she's going to have a thin blade, a giant two-handed sword. So you guys have any thoughts on,
do we have any more information other than that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
I have a hard time arguing with the wisdom of the crowd's logic on that one. That a duelist on a horse doesn't make a lot of sense. What kind of horse?
I mean, I think the Three Musketeers did ride horses at one point.
But did they fight on them?
Sure.
We're using a novel to back up.
Will somebody fact check Jay's understanding of literature? What's going on here?
In my defense, I think Tomas is awful. So it's a little shot across the bow at Trevor.
Wow.
I wasn't at the seminar, but just my personal opinion. I'm always a big fan of cavalry casters, so I think that potential concept would have been cool. I can kind of get where they're coming from, but, I mean, you know, I think we've seen plenty of movies where people riding horses can still swing a sword pretty well. So.
all right.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming
from.
So,
okay, here's where I'm at. What was the mount going to be?
A horse.
A mount.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I require more exotic mounts.
I want a dwarf on a bear.
A unicorn, maybe? I don't know.
Okay, maybe.
Let's throw her out for a second and say, okay, she's not going to be a cavalry caster, but we're going to give Mercs a cavalry caster anyway. Who's it going to be, and what are they riding?
And unfortunately, it seems like Magnus is now embraced in the arms of Signar, and it doesn't really make sense for him to be, like, riding the huge beetle in the...
I mean, you could do a Magnus 1.5 or something.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, like before he went over to Signar, you're saying?
No, he's talking about when he went to Scorn and basically ran the show for a while until Mikado overthrew
it. A beetle would be awesome. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's the kind of content I need, Jay.
Magnus 3 with some sort of parasail.
What?
Did you guys not hear this part of the narrative? We can go into this as part of the talking about the Narrative League.
Okay. No. So, wasn't the Narrative League the whole fighting on top of the big airship?
Narrative campaign on top of the big airship.
Okay.
Correct.
Wait, is this... Okay.
So,
I have so many questions.
Kador has been getting their trash kicked.
Good.
In
yes.
the Stormbreak Leagues leading up to this. And then we get to the narrative event, and they do two narrative events. Kador wins both of them.
Okay.
But in one of the scenarios, like, Carver takes over the airship, and he's like, it's going in crashing, and Magnus, the guy who's playing Magnus, jumps off the airship and parachutes away. And so that was my parasail / parachute reference for Magnus.
When you said parasail, I thought maybe you were going to tell me like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
No, I was definitely thinking Mary Poppins.
Okay.
Like I'm Mary Poppins from Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yeah.
Like that moment?
With, you know, a claw hand. And...
Yep. Or steampunk Mary Poppins, basically.
Mary Poppins is already steampunk.
That's actually kind of true, isn't it?
I said a parasail, not a parasol.
You did.
I don't care.
Okay. Another model that we know about. So, Gorman 2, he has a Riot Quest version. The War Machine version has a spray. The spray removes cloud effects.
Mm.
And he has a corrosion spray.
How big is the spray?
I think it's 8, but I'm not sure. And he is not going to have a blind spray, but we just know that he has some sort of debuff spray. Not quite sure what the debuff is.
Could be defense, could be armor, that's what you're saying. Speed.
Something, yeah.
What would be the most useless thing to debuff?
Command.
But obviously, most other factions...
That's probably not true, because
you'd screw up
the
like
leader
in,
and
yeah,
screw up
yeah.
formation.
Most other factions obviously had one choice for mercs and minions, so hopefully he's just something different that you want to be able to take him, because in my experience, most of the merc choices are pretty hard to budge the one that I'm using, so...
Which is what? What do you always use?
Ragman's generally the lead runner.
Okay.
Or Midwinter sometimes as well, so that's obviously a Crick's perspective, but... I mean,
no, it's more than just Crick's.
But, and Gorman 1's sometimes pretty handy as well. But yeah, obviously that concept would be interesting to see.
Is spraying away clouds, is that cool, usable, not?
It's on an 8-inch spray on a caster? He's a caster, right?
Oh, he's a caster.
No.
Oh,
no, he's just a solo.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think from my point of view, most days, and I'm probably going to put my foot in my mouth, but I think most factions have ways to see through clouds these days. So I don't know how important it is.
Okay.
I mean, even in the simplest
thing. Usually the bigger issue is that if that's what you're using him for, you move up, you spray away the clouds, and then he dies. And
right.
Correct.
It doesn't feel like a good trade-off.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all. Whereas the old blind bomb or rust or something in the past would, you know, if it can be pretty devastating. Whereas, yeah, I think probably only going to be corner case. We'll see what his debuff is. That could be very important. Because it gives them the potential of applying it to multiple things.
With the spray.
With the spray.
Yeah.
Next model that we know about.
Yes.
There is a new...
Can I find this art anywhere? I feel like I should be looking at this art so I can appropriately fanboy.
I know there has been art of Gorman too. I don't think there has been of this one coming up. So there's going to be a Cephalic solo that is a Warcaster attachment, and it is going to have Spell Slave.
This is a Ryquist model?
No, this is a War Machine.
Oh, okay.
So you can attach that to Thexus and have a nice little telekinesis for free.
Okay. I mean, I want to be excited about that, except for there's so few players who play Cephalix.
That could potentially change with the
Theme Force remix. Because of Themepocalypse loser.
Definitely going to be the Theme Force, how that shakes out. They've stated that the unit of Overlords are not going to be a requisition point now, so I'll be interested to see what they do with that and how they make that Theme Force. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because as what Trevor said, I don't see too many of them And deep down, I own a little small Syphilis force, so if they get a little buff, that'll be good too.
Some other models that we know are coming out for Right Quest that we don't know what they do. There's Sam McCorn, the one-woman show. She'll have Jack Marshall, and then there's going to be a Nis mercenary Deathstalker.
That would be a solo? Or a...
Yeah.
All these will end up being solos, yes?
Not all of them.
Not everything.
Okay.
For example, another model that we that Hungerford previewed is Fiora 4. And
jeez,
she is... The story behind her in the alternate timeline is that there was kind of a rapture-like event, and all the other Manites got raptured away. And
since she's now an
infernalist, how bad do you have to be the one religious zealot that didn't get
the Fiora got left behind?
This is so bad.
So, but she's going to be a warcaster.
Yeah, okay. She'll also be the only parishioner in the church.
Yeah.
They're all alone on Sunday.
That'd be awesome if she was like a battle engine caster and she was just riding a giant church.
She was riding the church?
Yeah.
Is she waiting for that?
If she's the only one left behind.
Have you seen the new gator? Is it the
one that's got
like the rope?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say the anchor. Is it an anchor? I thought he had an anchor.
I thought that it was rope, but...
Fair enough.
You can look it up and...
I'm trying.
Okay.
Okay.
So that model... I thought that I had heard that he was going to have 4-inch reach with his...
It is a fish hook.
A fish hook object. With...
That is why I thought it was an anchor.
That's on the fish hook.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks rad.
So, I believe that's going to be a 4-inch melee during his activation.
Makes sense.
Is he going to pull or something as well?
I'm not sure.
Wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be surprised. But he's also... This is for you, Josh. He is going to have no sleeping on the job for Gatorman.
Whoa. I have so many Gatormen that I will put on the table.
Are you officially intrigued?
Yes. You may color me as such.
I think we already talked a little bit about Helga too, but she's going to be on a motorcycle, and it's going to look like a meat thresher.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a motorcycle.
Assuming it's going to be a large bike.
Maybe.
Seems sensible.
Is she only in a small base now? She's a small base.
Yeah, she's a small base now. Yeah. Did we say that we thought that she would be cavalry because of that?
I don't know, maybe.
I mean, you kind of would have to be, wouldn't you?
It would have fit in line if she was cavalry in a huge base model. A large base model.
Right, yeah.
So. Right.
But we also know that she is going to have Engine of Destruction.
But wow. Engine.
Thank you. Yes. Born to be wild.
This
will be her new spell, yes.
This nerf was the next one we're going to talk about. This was rumored. Or Hungerford's.
Wait, do you know what the alternate timeline is with Helga 2?
No.
I don't know what I would want it to be. All opera ended, I guess.
With Circle, Hungerford kind of previewed this potential change when he was doing commentary with me, but in a dev chat, they've confirmed that this is what they're looking at. The Lord of the Feast, his melee range will go down to 1 inch instead of 2.
Which all the Circle players have told me he's totally ruined.
Yeah, it's full trash. And his Raven will reduce from 10 inches to 8.
That seems like more of an issue than the melee range.
They're both pretty
big. They're both pretty big, but he still seems really good. So, I don't
know. I've been assured by all the Circle people that it's just trash. You'll never play him ever.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's only going to kill twice his points as opposed to 4 times. I mean, complete rubbish. Sorry, that's me playing the world's smallest violin.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be interesting to see if we do just see him disappear.
I think that you will see much less of him initially, because that's how War Machine players are. But
not all War Machine players.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I mean, point taken. Scorn, I think they may have spoiled this one all the way. Have they spoiled the full Disciples of Agony now?
Yes.
So it's open to all casters now. What else is going on with it?
I mean, the biggest change is that you no longer have to take units to get your requisition points. I mean, that's just the biggest thing. Is before, most of the casters I felt like you wanted to play it with wanted to take Minion Beast. That was the most exciting thing about it, but it was a penalty because it gave you no free points for doing so.
Right.
Again, and it was very limited. But yeah, I think that just the change to all casters and the ability to take what you need or want. You can still take as many Minion units and Minion Beasts as you want in the list, so it could be mostly Minions with a Scorn Warlock. And I just think that that's a great change for the list, because there's a lot of them that they don't want all Minion Beasts either, but they want a battle group that has quite a few Minion Beasts, but they still would like to have some, you know, a few Minion units in it as well. So we'll see how it turns out.
There's going to be this. I'm curious how excited you are for this model, Trevor. So there is the Agonizer character Warbeast.
Do we know anything about it?
Yes.
Okay, so do you want my initial gut reaction?
Sure.
I hated the art.
Okay.
Oh, now I got to find the art. Okay.
I felt like, I mean, he looks so happy. Like you could throw like Mouseketeer ears on him and he could walk around the park and he'd be greeting kids and stuff. And anybody who knows anything about Agonizers, you're like, that just doesn't, it didn't seem to fit to me at all, any way, shape, or form.
Maybe especially he might be just a little less tortured, perhaps.
I mean, then he's not an Agonizer anymore. He's a baby Titan. So I don't know. We'll see. The R bothered me a little bit. I guess it would depend a little bit on his rules, because...
Do you want the money shot? I'll just get right to the punchline.
Right, I always want the money shot.
He's cheap. I think he was like 7 or 8 points, and he has Rush.
Okay. I'm in.
Okay.
Meaning he replaces your gladiators, basically.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I think in a Titan list he doesn't, but in a list where you're playing Cyclopses or Molot Karn, you don't want to have a gladiator. Right, that's a really big addition. I mean, in any list where you're going to have Titans, you'd rather just have a gladiator, because you don't want to have a 7-point model that all he does is move around and cast Rush everywhere. But
so
that's
really
what
you're saying. That's why
gladiator he, right now. Anyway,
that's why he looks so happy, then, because he has Rush.
He's handing out Rush candy. Like
is.
Oprah for Agonizers. Rush for you.
He's going to have 4 attacks: Morgul's Glove, a Praetorian Sword, a Slug Gun, and a Scatter Gun, and he has dual attack.
What the hell?
Hang on, is that the Agonizer?
Yes. Yes. He also has veteran leader Agonizer.
Jeez.
What? Why in the
hell? Discover those attacks again.
He has Morgul's Glove, a Praetorian Sword, a Slug Gun, and a Scatter Gun.
Oh, wait, is he a Riot Quest model?
Yeah, yes. He's a Riot Quest model.
Oh, okay. Ridiculous.
Oh, everything now makes sense.
Yeah. Does it? Does it really?
Well, I mean...
It does for me.
Yeah, sense in the term of... Yes.
What the hell? What does Veteran Leader Agonizer do for
me? I don't know.
That's, look, in his timeline, Agonizer's race rose to be the superior race.
Okay. Do I get a unit of Agonizers? Because then we might have something.
Maybe if you play Riot Quest.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no danger of that.
With Legion, they're getting some theme forces combined. They've done some previews with them. I think people have been fairly excited about Ravens. One thing that Hungerford discussed was, I think that there's a good chance that the Hellmouth isn't going to be a free option anymore.
Oh, so it won't be in the requisitions or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh,
so are you saying they're going to get them combined, some themes combined?
Yeah.
Because they only have 4, so I wonder if they're going to combine them.
They are combining 2 of their theme forces into 1.
Legion.
I'm not sure how.
Interesting.
Yep. I know that somewhere Hungerford said, I think it was a post of like who's most excited, who should be most excited about this or something like that. And one of the comments that Hungerford made was that he thought that that Legion was one of the factions that have had things opened up a lot with the new theme forces that are going to be coming out.
Well, I mean, part of the problem is they only have 4. And of those 4, a couple of them are so restrictive
right. That
you would never play them. So, but I don't mind Hellmouths, but I just wish people would pay for them.
I mind.
There's some things I dislike about them. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
it certainly hurts when they're free and they're like, oh, I've got a 2 in here, even though I never paid for them. I don't really care. I just needed to be able to dick with your zones for a while.
They're free, armor gazillion, and impervious flesh. Choke on it.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they might get a dynamic update.
One can hope. Some Trollbloods changes. In one of the lists, the Dunian Knot is going to be a requisition option. You'll be able to take all Warbeasts in Krill Company, not just ranged beasts. But the part that everyone is most excited about. So, have you seen the pig tanks for Riot Quest that look amazing?
Yeah, they do look pretty cool.
They look awesome. So they're going to be, I think that they're
going
to be
Merkin
Minion models that will be Partisan Trollbloods. And they're going to be available in 2 options. The first one is a Trollblood character that has an open top and is FA character, and then a non-character solo, which has a closed top and is FA2. The character will have Veteran Leader for +1 to attack to all tanks. I'm assuming when they say tanks, they mean just the...
Yeah, they mean just the...
just the pigs, not
just the pigs.
Relis on top.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're naming them tanks just to kind of rub it in my nose.
And then they're going to have some sort of knockdown ability and then trash on the gun.
I'm saying we need to throw the character agonizer in one of those tanks and give him a bash.
Now you're just being greedy.
I'm not sure if Josh has seen or remembers these tanks, but we're now going to have a audio reaction of Josh looking at the visual representation of the pig tanks. The best radio. So Josh, what's your opinion of the pig tanks?
They are gleeful. And I relish Trevor's agony over not having treads.
Aaron is giving me like this dumbfounded what is going on here.
All I can say is I'm confused, but
I think they're awesome.
There's definitely a cute element to it, but I'm still very confused.
Is that what happened with the agonizer too?
I blame Grimkin. Cutesy like it's all that. Gone off the rails since Grimkin.
What?
Let's not get me started on Grimkin. They're a wonderful faction.
They are. Some additional info on Fiora 4. She will not have her mask, and she's going to have a flaming chainsaw, and she will have Deathmark and Hand of Vengeance.
Deathmark.
I mean, flaming chainsaw is Deathmark sounds one amazing.
That you lose stealth and incorporeal.
It used to be called Mark for Death. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Hand of Vengeance? Is that the one if something dies near you, you then get a move and attack?
Well, I thought it was a Tar Warjack gets to move and attack, not you.
Oh, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
Something like that. So that's some stuff she's looking at. Grimkin, the gremlin slingshotter, has a ton of gremlins in his bag, shoots gremlins that cause mayhem on the things they hit, costs 4, and when he dies, he turns into a gremlin swarm.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that is... Wait, this is a... I'm losing track of timelines. Like, I understand...
This is the worst possible
timeline. I understand now why Captain America was supposed to return all the gems. Then stones, I mean. Is this a Grimkin model or a Riot Quest model that can be a Grimkin model?
Riot Quest. Then.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why that means I can tolerate it.
No. You can't tolerate this.
It should still bother me,
so
I know.
So is that a Riot Quest rule or a War Machine rule that you just made?
I think a War Machine one is, yeah.
Yeah. This is...
So does that mean you could have... Do I understand this correctly? What do you speculate that the field allowance on this Gremlin Slingshotter is? 2?
Probably FA1, maybe 2.
Okay, so you could have 5 to 6 gremlin swarms, essentially.
Yeah, but so here's the counterpoint.
I mean, you kill your own gremlin.
Counterpoint.
You kill your own gremlin.
The Fonz is on the back of the boat. He's getting into the water. They're about to take off.
No, they're not. Counterpoint.
Are you kidding me?
If you can't deal with 4 gremlin swarms, the 5th or 6th one's not going to fucking matter.
Oh, and that's your counterpoint?
It's some great logic.
If you can't handle me at my 4 gremlin swarms, you don't deserve me at my 5 or 6.
Wow.
You're a bad man.
You'd never guess which of us plays Grimkin.
Well, all of us now.
Yeah.
The game is now called Grimkin Quest. Grimkin Machine.
Okay, Convergence of Cirrus. The Cirrus monowheel is a solo and might have Thunderstrike on its weapons.
A monowheel?
Yeah, sounds like...
Is that like a wheel that you're like riding inside
of? I would assume so, yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it like is. It has souls.
Have you seen that scene where Jackie Chan like rides in one of those blow-up balls like literally down the side of a mountain? Like off a cliff?
I feel like I should have, but no, I have not seen
it. I saw it the other day. It's probably not real. Nothing's real There's anymore, right? This entire podcast is a deep fake.
There was a an old South Park episode that I'm sure you haven't seen because it's South Park. I mean. But
just send me the transcript. I'll read almost anything.
it amuses me. I'll just say that.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
You can do a deep dive on that episode. And
well, which episode?
So
I probably haven't seen it either.
It's a really old one. Mr. Garrison invents this mono wheel that is like this most fantastic transportation device, but it has some complications when you use it. So
I see. I apparently haven't seen it either because I don't remember this one.
It's pretty funny. Anyways, not nearly as funny as Audio Dink Doom memes, but really what is.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so I think that's most of the preview stuff, but on part one of our Lock and Load wrap-up, we talked about Warcaster and Neo Mechanica, but we didn't talk about some of the Oblivion stuff and dynamic update stuff. And so that's probably a good opportunity to do this now. We did a little bit with Hungerford, but we couldn't really necessarily, while having a Privateer Press staffer on the show, give like
honest opinions.
Opinion. Well, no, I mean, it was him explain what was going on and providing information, stuff like that. And now we can say what we're excited about, not excited about, etc. So, Aaron, let's start with you. What would you say you are most excited about with the... Well, first, are you excited for the Theme Force remix?
I've got mixed feelings, to be
cautiously
honest.
Optimistic.
He was until you told him about the Gremlin slingshotter.
Well, no, let's save that to the stuff that I'm not happy
about. All right. Carry on.
Yeah, I suppose there's some good info. We haven't heard much about Crix, but the stuff I've heard, obviously, about the reduction in Colossals should be exciting. I'll be interested to know if there's potentially some rules changes with go with that as well. My personal opinion, I think, just a points reduction in the Kraken. The Kraken, I think, is fine. The Sepulchre, I'd like to see potentially maybe its ranged output maybe go back to a little bit more like what it was in Mark II, mainly just with the range of its side guns. But we'll see if there's any other changes involved. I'm a little apprehensive about how the merger of Black Industries and Infernal Machines is going to go, mainly because, in all honesty, I suppose I don't know how what they're going to do to make Mechanothralls for us to see a lot of Mechanothralls back on the table. I've played a lot of like the existing themes. I've played every cast, all the themes, and I've had a lot of fun playing them. But in terms of like top tier competitive lists, I think they're good, but there's just something missing. And potentially, you know, a points reduction on the Sepulchre, and things like that, purely just focusing on an Infernal Machines, or if it, Infernal Machines remain the same with the requisition points, could have opened a few list design and some list building up. But now that it's getting merged with Black Industries, I'm interested to see how they go with what the theme benefits are. Obviously, there's a little bit of a common trend about reducing some of the benefits. So obviously the biggest one will be if the theme continues to give carapace. If it does, which is great, I'm not sure what they're going to do for Mechanothralls. So that's probably what I'm a little apprehensive about, just to see how it's all going to mix in. And I mean, is it just Mechanothralls? Is it all the other stuff that Infernal with Infernal Machines, things like Soul Hunters, etc.? You know, a few years ago, I played quite a lot of good competitive lists with Infernal Machines. I think the meta changed a little bit to make those not as competitive. But yeah, that's probably what I'm interested to see what's going to go forward. Also, there's some potential rumors about the Satixis merging with the Slaughterfeet. I'll be interested to see if that happens or that was just a rumor. And if
have they done any Crix previews yet?
No, they haven't done any.
Would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
Again, just from my experience, the Satixis were a good list to play, you know, more in a local events or with new kind of players. I just think they just lacked a little bit of punch for more competitive stuff. And again, because of the changing of what the current meta is, a lot of multi-wound infantry, the Satixis kind of fell down a little bit. If they merge them, my fear is if it stays the same, then Satixis probably won't be taken, because Slaughterfleet is very powerful, very good at the moment. And the biggest question, obviously, is those theme benefits as well. We know that the additional deployment's going to go away. I'd like them to maintain they still have Gangfighter. If they merge them, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of the Satixis, because the Blood Witches had Ambush, so maybe they merge that together. Dodge for solos was kind of cool, but I'm not really sure where that's going to sit. So, yeah, if they do merge them together, basically with those theme benefits, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I don't really know, you know, if just adding Satixis into Slaughterfleet is going to be effective. To be fair, I just haven't really thought about it. So maybe with some playtesting and getting some stuff on. I mean, obviously, Satixis Raiders are still very good. You know, they obviously need a bit of support in terms of, with a bit of armor cracking. They're still obviously very fast and still a pain to deal with Power Swirl in terms of shooting. But yeah, we'll just have to see how it shakes out.
So I guess it's kind of, you mentioned some things that were going to be part of the dynamic update, like Hungerford hinted that some of the Colossals for Crix are going to be looked at points-wise, I think, going down some. But focusing in on the remix, if you look at the positives and negatives, it personally to me feels like we're looking at more positives in general than some of the negatives. And a lot of this is going to come down to implementation, obviously. But if, and I can also understand someone like you, Aaron, who is kind of a faction purist. You've been playing Crix for a long time, and you're like the how this is implemented for Crix is something that's obviously very important for you.
Yeah, definitely.
So some of the things that are good, and this is, I think, overall for everyone. I think that the change so that if you play a 75-point list, then you don't have to be focusing on units. You don't have to be focusing on beasts or whatever. All you do is you follow the model restrictions that are at the start of the theme list, and then you can build whatever based on that. I think that that goes a long way to eliminating, or well, not eliminating, minimizing some of the complaints that people had about list creativity being stifled. And so I think that that's a really good thing. Another thing that is positive, I think that looking at some of the theme benefits and kind of deciding, like, you know what, some of these are outliers that are perhaps too strong, or maybe they're not strong enough, I don't know, on some of them. But, for example, getting rid of the 2 inches of deployment, the most of the advance move.
The plus ones to go first.
The plus ones to go first. I think that those are, I think that when you're doing, I think this is a great time to do that, and I think that those are likely good things to be adjusting out of the theme forces. On those two points, what do you guys have any thoughts on that? Do you agree, disagree on any of it?
I strongly agree. I think, from my point of view, very excited about the new list building way. I can understand, purely obviously coming from a Crix point of view, I can understand potentially why they're trying to reduce the amount of themes that they have. And I'm certainly not one, obviously there's a lot of opinions out there. I still think and believe Crix are very strong. Crix have got a lot of really good things going for them. And namely, right now, off the bat, I'd say that obviously Black Industries and Slaughter Fleet, and to a lesser degree, but still very powerful Dark Host, are very good themes. And I suppose if I had my wish, it would be to leave everything as it is from a Crix point of view, just to see the potential if the new way to build lists could bring potentially Ghost Fleet and or Infernal Machines to a more powerful level where we would see it more in competitive play. I mean, obviously hoping that it comes in line with everything else. I'm certainly not one of these people that want Crix to be as they were in the past. I'm definitely one for, you know, as balanced game as we can across all.
Yeah, we don't really need to go back to 40% of the field being Crix.
Not at all. Considering 40% of Grimkin at the moment, so we don't want that.
Yeah. Well, come on now.
Well, I mean, there's an opportunity there, so I felt I had to take it.
if you look at the big events, there's actually a really good spread of factions.
True. And personally, I think the game's at a really good place now. Now, there's obviously, but at the same time, I'm very excited for things like Legion and some other factions there. Obviously, they come to mind because they're the most obvious, to having their theme forces changed, and obviously, you know, to a point where they open up a lot more options for them. As Trevor pointed out before, a couple of them were really pigeonholed into really odd type lists, and you know, kind of stuff you'd want to play for fun potentially, or you know, try this different stuff, but in a super competitive environment, or for those Legion players that really want to, you know, be pushing for those top end results. It was essentially, you know, it was kind of one theme you had.
Yeah, they had one list basically, and then they had to shape around that, and just felt like it's been that way for Legion.
Correct.
They kind of just need some other things that they can try to match with it or to play instead of it, and that just doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel like they're not competitive, because I think their top lists are, but it does feel very difficult if I were playing Legion to go into every single tournament having to play basically the same thing over and over and over again. And even, like I said, going back, even when it was Oracles, you know, playing the same thing over and over again with an off list that doesn't necessarily work for you, but it's all you really got.
Correct. So from a Crix point of view, I'm just, as I said, I'm very optimistic and very hopeful that things will shake out well. I'm just slightly concerned about the merger of the themes, about how they're going to look at potentially trying to address some things, because I don't want it to be ridiculously stupid overpowered that everyone jumps on board. But the same token, I just don't want it to be like a little bit, okay, we're going to merge these two. Fragment's sake, hypothetically, look at Infernal Machines and Black Industries. They get merged. Majority of the focus is still on
Jack's or Jack Support, and it was kind of like a little bit of housekeeping. Let's just merge these two. So you're in a situation where majority of the lists that you see are simply just all going to be a heavily Jack flavored, with, you know, the potential to have Mechanithralls and stuff in there. And potentially as well with if the Satixus and the Slaughter Flea Raiders merge also. It's going to be, you know, I have this option. It's fluffy, it's kind of cute, but from a more competitive standpoint, you know, this is really the path I go down, and these options hardly get looked at.
Right. It does. I think that Crick is actually a really good example of, in general, I think that there's a lot of positive things that can come out of this remix for the entire game, but when you start looking at some of the nuts and bolts of some of the theme force benefits that Crix uses and that they feel like they need to be competitive, if some of those get messed up in the conversion, then that could be feel like a pretty big blow to the faction.
Yeah, I suppose probably the only one, I think I like the change to the proposed with the Carapace rule about not getting the armor buff for a free strike. And not just myself, I think a lot of people agree that you know, giving them Carapace for their heavies really allowed you to play you know, those Crix heavies on the table and just not having them just simply just shot off the board. So
yeah, and that's one of the first things that comes to my mind is if for some reason they did a merger or something like that and just the Carapace advantage got removed altogether from the theme force, then I think that a lot of Crix players would feel like that was a pretty big blow.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, from my honest point of view, I'd have to do a lot of playtesting and seeing, but my instant reaction would be very similar to that as well. You know, probably pretty negative to begin with, and then see how it shakes out. And I did notice that, I think it was Hungerford mentioned about the dynamic update, about that they know they're going to hit a certain group and there's the whole other section which they're going to work on, and they've kind of talked about hinting for more to come in the future. And I know we hear a lot about, you know, kind of be a bit patient and whatnot. I'm certainly very optimistic in a positive way, hoping that, you know, to me, in all honesty, they're continually making positive steps, which is good. I must admit, a couple of months ago, you know, probably like a lot of people, kind of hoping that things would come quicker than what they are. But generally, yes, for me, very excited about what is to come. And just a ballpark, I don't know what their time frame is, but, you know, obviously we're looking at August for Oblivion and then the dynamic update, and then potentially later in the year if I mean, only based off information that Hungerford posted about potentially that there's other things on their radar that they're looking at, but just want to do some playtesting.
Still being playtested, still being looked at.
So yeah,
they don't want to necessarily jump the gun.
Correct,
et cetera.
Which I think is a good approach. So
yeah, and another example from the dev chat that they talked about is that they're looking at, on the Judicator, they are probably going to increase its point price by 1 point. And they said, you know, we realize that this is a pretty subtle change to trying to fine tune him,
especially on a model that's already quite a few points.
Right, but he dropped down quite a bit.
He did.
So, but it,
you know, I know. But my point being is that 1 point added on to 30, sure. 35 is not the same as 1 point added on to a 4 point model.
Right. Correct. Yeah. That's fair. But they said, you know, we'd kind of rather test out this type of small test or small change, see how it goes, and then potentially make, if we feel like it's needed, an additional change in the future, then just drop the hammer right at the start. I still kind of like your solution to the Judicator, Aaron.
Yeah, and for everyone listening, mine is, and my honest opinion, I have no issues with the actual Judicator and the rules and how he is currently. I just, I don't know what his rule is, but I think I just prefer it to be called Hand of Fate, just so you can't double stack
double
Hand
up
of Fate.
On it, yeah.
Oh, sure.
So, right. As I said, I played a lot against the Judicator and a lot of good Menoth players, and even though it's a very strong, powerful piece, I think if they did that, just change his rule, then I think he would sit in a pretty good spot. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I've basically have had very minimal play against Menoth lately. For whatever reason, there hasn't been much anywhere, and so I haven't.
I played against it quite a bit last winter and fall, back when I was preparing for the ATC. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, when it gets to the point where you've got Sevi 1 and it doubled up on Hand of Fate, it just like, it becomes one of those things where the idea of what it could potentially do is nowhere near what it actually does on the table. Shit just starts blowing up everywhere. And you're like,
like, this is from 14 inches away, and I just
knocked
out half your hit points. What are you going to do now?
What's even worse than that is you think about the Judicator, and you're like, okay, well, he's got this, you know, he's got the bonus damage, but really he's kind of inaccurate. And that's kind of the thing you think. But you throw all that shit on there, he's no longer inaccurate. Like, he hits things that he should not hit. And then he destroys them in ways that he should not destroy them.
I think the rough maths on four dice is that you average about roll a 9, basically, if you double hand a fate. So rolling four dice to scud the last two, it's about a 9. Jeez. Roll average. So
just casual 9s.
Yeah, casual 9s with a plus 1 to hit. And, I mean, he just starts hitting shit that, like I said, you didn't expect him to be able to hit. High defense stuff. You're like, well, I'm protected. I got my defense 14, dude. No. That's no problem.
Well, that's right. If you get your defense 14, dude, you boost. And it's 5 dice, drop last 2, and yeah.
There's no way.
Don't worry about it. You can be defense 20. It's like, yeah, 50% of the time with it.
What are you two most excited about with the theme force
reading? I mean, at the moment, I think I'll get to see more pigs. I mean, yep. Not that I haven't been seeing a lot of pigs since I'm like Sturm and Drang all the time.
This is the theme force remix, but there were some dynamic update things that Hungerford teased that were very exciting for pigs.
I don't remember those. Remind me.
Points reduction in Warhawks, and most importantly...
Oh, and also that not having to force
correct
for your dials. It's yeah, that is
difference.
Actually pretty...
Makes a big difference.
Exciting. I guess I had that wrapped up in my head as Theme Force Remix.
But sure, yeah.
But the Theme Force itself is interesting.
Yeah.
So, certainly a lot better than what it was. So, it's positive moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, Minions players generally want to use all the things all the time, and they just weren't using...
I think you'll see a lot more pig infantry type lists.
Exactly.
So
I think, was it also a dynamic update that the Slaughterhousers?
Correct.
Like, yeah. Let me tell you how many Slaughterhousers I own.
How many, Josh?
That have been warehoused. I think I actually have 5 units.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm way above field allowance.
Okay.
But it's because I made an inadvisable purchase of like bulk minions one time.
I'm not sure if I brought enough models, but it sounds like you're challenging me to an Unbound game, Josh.
I didn't hear this change. What's the change?
So they get Relentless Charge?
They get Relentless Charge, and they're getting a points reduction.
And they're getting, is it Tough?
Rise, isn't it? The theme gives Rise.
And since all pig infantry is Tough, anyway.
Oh, well, Rise in the theme doesn't help me with the unit that I have for Scorn.
Sad. I don't care.
Well, my from the few themes that I've seen, it does feel like there's a little bit of a, we're going to rein in some of these benefits, which was one of my bigger complaints previously, and we're going to open up the options that you can put in the theme list. Again, one of my other complaints. You know, personally, I'd rather we just played 75 points and I just built the list I wanted to build, but
right.
That's not going to happen. I realize it's not going to happen. So, you know, now I have a less fluffy theme that just I can kind of throw whatever I want in there, but it's like I can't put that one thing in there, but okay. And then I get these limited benefits and I get these requisition points. That's honestly better than what we had in many ways, especially because I feel like at least the preview changes I've seen, it feels like some of the over-the-top themes are being brought down a little bit. And that's kind of – and I know there's some people who – I mean, they look at these initial, just this, you know, small snapshot of one theme, and they kind of get angry about this whatever nerf. I mean, when we previewed Destruction Initiative, I was surprised at how many people were upset about, you know, just that they felt like it was kind of a general nerf, and it is a little bit. But I think that's probably kind of across the board. I think a lot of those stronger themes are getting brought down just a little bit, and I'm okay with that. I think that's a good thing. I think that you should be able to play... If we're going to live in a theme world, you should be able to play whatever theme you want and be able to build a list in it that is reasonable.
And I think part of the what's going on with this Destruction Initiative is that we're now... One of the things that they're trying to do with their remix as well is to try to standardize the maximum amount of points
right
that you can get for free models with your requisition points. And so the number of servitors you get is going down to match that standardization. And
that's really what it needs to do that.
Yeah, and it does need to do that. And in some ways, if you've been used to getting a ton of stuff or whatever, then that can suck. But I think that overall, for the good of the game, that's important.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, two things. One, they're trying to make the themes more consistent. So one, kind of just doubling down on what Joe was saying, but one free card or one free option for one theme is kind of equal to one on the other, because there's obviously in the current situation, there's some pretty clear disparity in my point of view. But the other thing too, I think overall, which I'm very positive about from Privateer Press's point of view, is I think, and we heard some spoilers as well about potentially some of the rules changes, is they're trying to simplify the game. And I am positive for that because one of the things I think we need to do is to try to make it easier for new players to get into the game. So I'm very positive from that point of view because, one, they can address that and they can identify that, and two, they're actually trying to take a step in order to achieve that. That, you know, this step might not necessarily get there, but it's a step in the right direction. I'm not trying to be an optimist, but I think we need to look at trying to make the game a bit more simple because it'd be good to make it an easier pathway for new people to get into the game.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
So maybe our last part to close out the episode. So Aaron, you played in Masters. You went 4-0 in Masters, playing Crix.
Yes, I did.
I don't think we necessarily want to do a round by round, blow by blow. But I am kind of curious. What were some of your big view takeaways from playing Crix in the Masters event? From my outside looking in, it seemed a little bit. One of the things that was kind of interesting is that it felt to me like a couple of years ago, everyone was like, okay, well, what's your Crix answer? And everyone was prepped for Crix going into a tournament. And no one was expecting Crix at Lock and Load. And, you know, you came in there, you were playing well, and people didn't. They're like, oh, I forgot that this was good.
Well, just to lead into that, and I did talk to you about this over the weekend. It was quite funny. I basically, apart from the game I'm playing as Charles, because obviously Charles knows what he's doing, but everyone else, I was asking to them about how many magic weapons they have in their army, and I kind of get these odd looks like, why do magical weapons matter anymore? And I'm like, ha-ha. So I was very successful, and a big reason behind that is I think basically no one had really factored in Crix. And one of my lists was Peace Guard Double Wraith Engine. And so, and I love that list. And it's changed a little bit, but the premise is still the same. And we're going to have a game later, Josh, so that'll be fun. So yes, and I paired that with Scar 3. Scar 3 and Slaughter Fleet with close to 40 trolls, which is kind of cool too. So I had two pretty good skew lists. It did a lot of work off Peace Guard Double Wraith Engine because a lot of people just weren't able to deal with the Wraith Engines. And under Peace Guard, they hit so tough. You know, nothing's changed in that regard. And so, a lot of my opponents, I just caught off guard because they hadn't factored in Crix and what Crix could do. It was a whole lot of fun. Just a pity that I just missed out going any further. But, yeah, playing those four games was a lot of fun playing against those people. So I think being a bit of a dark horse with my pairing, and as you said, I played pretty well, and that kind of added to the reason why I went pretty well.
I love it.
Yeah.
You say that now, but...
I love when those things are inflicted on other people, clearly.
Well, do you guys have any final thoughts?
Remind me when Oblivion is coming out, because I'm really dying to do the campaign thing.
So
Gen Con, right?
Gen Con is when it is pre-releasing, and then September is the
official
release date through stores.
So Gen Con's early August, right?
Yeah,
it's like the first weekend of August.
It is.
Yeah.
And for someone who's got a limited amount of models and didn't really prepare for this, let's hope it happens after Gen Con. I might be in a little bit of a... It'd be interesting to see how it all goes. So I might have to borrow some of Jay's models if last minute, if it drops before then. So.
That'd be funny. It's like for that, right?
Who knows?
My understanding is that they're going to be running Gen Con under the old rules.
No, oh, okay.
Part of the question, though, is that... So there is going to be a toggle on
War Room
for the Theme Force Remix stuff,
mm-hmm.
but there's not going to be for the dynamic update. And so if they push a dynamic update during Gen Con or right before Gen Con, then this man who's traveled halfway across the world doesn't have access to his full repertoire of models to build lists with.
Yeah,
so.
Right, okay.
Could be interesting.
To all those people sympathetic to my cause again at Gen Con, I might have to buy some models.
I'm sure we can work something out. Yeah.
I mean, I could just hit the easy mode and just play Grimkin, I suppose. So.
I would highly recommend it.
I'm sure you would. I've seen what you do to people, and I think I was one of them.
I don't know that we've even played a...
We have.
He's just not even recently. Gentle.
Oh, right? Well, you know.
Not recently. Now he's got Clock a try.
Mm. Yes, don't worry. I played against him. They're fantastic.
is Scar 3 a living model, or is she a construct?
She's a living model.
Oh, interesting. No reason, just curious.
Of course. Just making casual conversation.
Okay. So, Josh.
Jay.
Do you have a Datchet Force?
Yes. A rabbit used to come up to my front yard every day for food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, we live out in the wild.
Yes.
A little bit. But it hasn't shown up in a week.
Oh.
Yeah, now it's just some bunny that I used to know. It was really hard not to sing that stupid punchline.
Feels like you should have.
Probably.
I love that you say that we're sort of out in the country.
Well, that's true.
You're pretty far out in the country.
Some of us more than others. What? There's like five houses before you hit nothing.
Yeah, the last one being your father's.
Trevor, do you have anything for us?
No. Why would I do
that? No Q corner. Curses.
Okay, well, we will have an awesome episode next week. I'm not sure what the topic will be. But on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.
As we leave the dojo, always remember...